stomach muscles rippled and her thighs danced. He wiped his face on the inside of her thighs and moved over her, surging deep right into her orgasm so those muscles clamped tight around his cock. It felt like a silken fist, scorching hot and tight as hell, grasped him, clamped down and pumped, so slick, so perfect. He moved in her, watching her face, loving the look he put there, loving the way she embraced sex with him. He bent his head to her tempting breast, sucking deep, but mindful that her nipples might be a little sore. His hands stroked over satin skin, taking her in, claiming her, while her hands moved over his body. She lifted her legs around his waist, locking her ankles and riding him hard. He loved the way they came together. Looking down, he could see his cock sliding out of her body, slick with her honey, and then disappearing deep, her muscles grasping him so tightly he thought his brain might explode. "Look at us, baby," he whispered. "It's a beautiful sight." She lifted her head to look, and he saw the flush of beauty on her face, the way her eyes widened and breath caught in her throat. "We are, aren't we?" Her eyes met his. "Kiss me. I'll taste like you." He wanted her to kiss him. He wanted to share her taste. To him, it was sexy as hell. She lifted her face, and one arm curled around his neck, even as her body kept riding, kept tightening. He found her mouth so hot, so tempting, everything he could want. The walls of the bedroom disappeared. Sounds became ragged breathing, hearts beating, their bodies coming together with a hard slap of flesh on flesh. Her moans, his name on her lips, his love swelling until he knew he was going to burst with it, but he couldn't stop. He never wanted to stop. He kept alternating between kissing her, sucking her breast, and rocking her with hard, deep thrusts. "I can't stop it," she gasped against his lips. "Then don't," he whispered into her open mouth. Her body clamped down so hard for a moment it felt as if his cock had been seized by a vicious, scorching hot vice, and then the scalding seed in his balls blasted into her, splashing the walls of her sheath, triggering one wild orgasm after another. He closed his eyes and let her take him straight to paradise. He collapsed over her, trying desperately to regain air in his lungs, unable to move. He had no idea how much time went by, while her body clenched and spasmed around his. Each movement sent waves of euphoria rushing through him. Her hands moved over his back and down to his buttocks. He felt possession in her touch, and he smiled, turning his head to claim the side of her neck. He bit down and felt her body tighten again around his. "That's a good way to wake up," she admitted. "I could get used to it." "Good. I'm very addicted to your taste." He took her mouth again. "Good morning, Sasha. This is the best morning I've ever had." "We're just getting started," she pointed out, with her slow, sexy smile. Chapter 14 Giovanni and Sasha joined his family for breakfast at Biaggi's Cafe, in Ferraro territory. Giovanni had never felt as much happiness as he did waking up to Sasha. She'd taken such amazing care of him, her mouth working his cock the night before, taking him to paradise. He'd wanted to return the favor in the morning, to wake her, his mouth between her legs, devouring her. Next time, he decided, he would take his time, making sure she felt love in every stroke of his tongue, his hands, and his cock. He wanted every morning to be perfection. He wanted her to feel loved every minute of the day. She kept her hand in his, even though the people around them stared as they entered the cafe. Imelda, Bernardo, and Leah Biaggi's oldest daughter greeted them. She showed them to the massive Ferraro table where his brothers, their wives, and Emanuele sat waiting for them. Imelda wove around the other tables like a pro. She had been a waitress since her early teens, and now was the hostess. She was one of the people in their territory Giovanni particularly liked. "Melda, I'd like you to meet my fiancé, Sasha Provis," he said, as they reached the table. He brought Sasha closer to him, not because she needed the added confidence, but because he liked her close. He liked holding her hand, or having his arm around her shoulders. He liked bringing her in close under his shoulder, her arms tight around his waist. He just plain liked touching her, and she never seemed to mind. Imeldia's smile brightened. She had that high wattage smile that could charm a snake. He knew quite a few of the work crews ate breakfast in Biagi's just to see Imeldia smile at them. "How lovely to meet you," Melda said instantly. "I've known Giovanni for years, and he's always up to no good, so watch him closely," she cautioned with a wink. Sasha smiled back. "I'll do that." Giovanni pulled out her chair for her and waved at John and Suzette Balboni, owners of Balboni Hardware. John had taken a bullet the same time Giovanni had, when the Ferraro family had been attacked. John looked good, fit. Giovanni knew Stefano and the others had visited him twice in the hospital, and a couple of times at his home. Francesca and Emanuele had kept close tabs on his progress and the needs of the family while he was laid up. "It's good to see John out," he told his brothers as he seated Sasha and dropped into the chair beside her. "Close." He reached out and put one hand on her thigh. As always, she didn't flinch away from him. She rested her palm over the back of his hand. His brothers and their women greeted Sasha. Emanuele just smiled. She looked tired and unhappy. So did Taviano. Giovanni squeezed Sasha's hand. He understood his brother and sister, how their lives could be lonely right in the midst of their large, loving family. "How's John doing?" he asked Emanuele. He knew Francesca would probably have all the information, but he wanted to engage his younger sister. She nodded. "He's so much better. I actually think physical therapy helped him more than just recover from his injury. He and Suzette joined the gym, and they work out together. You see them together much more often. They laugh all the time. I think they both realize John could have been killed, and they pay attention to their marriage more. It's all about sex," Vittorio announced gravely, using a wise voice. "Good sex with the perfect partner. She nearly lost him, and she's all over him. He's happy again." "Is that what it takes to make a man happy?" Emanuele asked. "Yes," her brothers chorused, Giovanni included. Emanuele rolled her eyes. "Fast cars," Rico added, "and ropes." "Food," Vittorio indicated the menu with the bread he was holding. "Really good food." "Good sex and good food," Emanuele echoed. She shook her head, but there was a ghost of a smile curving her bottom lip. "You boys." Giovanni leaned into Sasha and put his mouth against her ear. "Nipple clamps," he whispered. Her skin flushed a delicate rose. She tried hard to give him a quelling look, but her laughter was too close to the surface. "Dio, I'm in love with you," he added, his lips brushing her earlobe deliberately. He couldn't resist temptation. He caught her lobe in his teeth and bit down just hard enough for her eyes to widen in shock and her mouth to open slightly. Her breath slipped out in a heady rush. She dug her fingers into his thigh. Very gently, he put his hand over hers and pressed her palm into the muscle of his thigh. "Breathe," he whispered, and brushed a kiss over the little sting. A young waitress approached their table. She smiled at Rico, looking at him as if he might be her hero. Rico inclined his head. "Rita, I heard your studies went very well this last semester. How are you doing?" "Great. I really appreciate the scholarship, Mr. Ferraro," she said. She glanced over her shoulder, smiling at the boy bussing the table just over from theirs. "Masso is doing awesome as well. He really likes working here, and he's gotten fast." She made a little face. "There was some breakage at first, a lot of it," she corrected with a grin. "But he's over that phase." "Good. I hear very good things about both of you," Rico said. "What can I get you this morning?" she asked. As they were giving their orders, the door opened, allowing in a swirl of cool air and two obvious detectives dressed in long, brown, almost identical trench coats. Giovanni tightened his hold on Sasha's hand. He made a small sound, one that alerted his family to the presence of the two policemen. They fell silent as the cops approached. Both showed their IDs, although it was silly to do so, as Giovanni recognized both from when they had come to Sasha's apartment. "Detectives Maverick and Bradshaw," he nodded to them. "What can we do for you? Or have you come in for breakfast? The food is the best." Art Maverick looked from Sasha's face to Giovanni's. "How are you, Ms. Provis?"
"I'm good, thank you for asking," Sasha said. "I haven't been back to my apartment."
"I've arranged for a cleaning company to come in," Giovanni said. "I'd prefer she doesn't go back until we're certain we removed every single camera, and there is no evidence whatsoever of her stalker anywhere in her home."
"You might think about changing the locks on the doors and windows as well,"
Jason Bradshaw advised.
"Have you had any more trouble with him?"
Giovanni pressed her palm harder into his thigh. He didn't dare look at her. His family sat very silently, waiting to see how Sasha would handle her first test, lying to the police. She shook her head.
"That's odd. He was so aggressive in your apartment. The wine, the lingerie, the entire scene, using everything in your bathroom and leaving his own towels. I would have thought he would have come at you more aggressively," Maverick said, the frown on his face revealing he was attempting to figure out her stalker's next move.
"What can we do for you?" Stefano asked. Both detectives immediately turned their attention to the head of the Ferraro family. "John Darby has made allegations against you. He claims you came to his home and beat him up, staged him looking at porn and released the video to every outlet imaginable." Stefano frowned and looked first at Francesca and then at his brothers.
"John Darby?
He's a reality television star," Giovanni supplied. "He came to the club several nights ago and caused problems. Security threw him out."
"I wasn't even there, was I?"
Stefano asked.
"I don't remember dealing with him."
"He claimed you came to his house," Maverick supplied.
"While I might not be opposed to beating someone up if they deserved it, I'm not in the habit of making porn films, or whatever he is alleging I did," he sighed. "I suppose we're going to have to call Vinci. Our lawyer can deal with this. I keep hoping people will leave us alone, but they always seem to find new ways to try to get money."
"When was this supposed to have taken place?" Francesca asked, glaring at the two detectives. Maverick gave the date, and Francesca looked outraged.
"We were at the club, celebrating. All of us, Stefano included. We danced most of the night, drank a little too much, and closed the place down. In case you're wondering, I was the one dancing with Stefano."
Mariko nodded.
"We were all there."
Bradshaw glanced at Sasha. She nodded her head.
"It was crazy busy that night. All the Ferraros were there, even a couple of cousins from New York. They stayed all night. Stefano and Francesca danced nearly every dance. And when they weren't, they were at the table."
"There are cameras everywhere," Stefano said, sounding bored. "This man picked the wrong night to accuse me. Most likely he was angry at getting thrown out of the club.
I don't know what he's talking about with his little porn accusation, but I can call West, our club manager, and ask him to have all the security tapes pulled for that night. You're welcome to go through them."
Bradshaw nodded. "Thank you, Mr. Ferraro. We'd appreciate that. You might remind whoever this man is that falsely accusing someone is a crime as well. I have half a mind to sue the bastard." Both detectives nodded, turned and walked away. Francesca looked at her husband.
"Porn?"
Stefano shrugged.
"I didn't quite understand that allegation." "There's money to be made in making porn films," Vittorio announced. There was silence around the table.
Emanuele wadded up her napkin and threw it with deadly accuracy at her brother. She hit him right in the face.
"Hey, I was just stating a fact.
A random fact. Why do we need to know that?" Emanuele demanded.
"It's good to be up on all the latest information," he argued. "You might find yourself down and out and in need of funds."
"Are you suggesting my baby sister become a porn star?" Stefano asked, a hint of true menace in his voice.
"No, I was suggesting she produce, fund, get behind the movie-making industry if she's out of money."
"Do you remember what that detective accused me of doing?" Stefano asked.
"Making a porno?"
"No, beating the asshole up."
Vittorio grinned at his brother. "Francesca, he's threatening me. I'm going to threaten you if the subject of pornography continues at our breakfast table." Sasha started laughing. "I think you all are a little crazy. Stefano sounds like my father, and Vittorio sounds a little like Sandlin."
"And Francesca?"
"She sounds like me." She made a face.
"The difference is, she wouldn't beat Vittorio up, and I would."
Francesca burst out laughing. "There you go, Vittorio. The women are banding together to take you out." He put both hands into the air in surrender. "I'm the good brother, remember? Why are the tables suddenly turning?"
Rita arrived with the food, expertly putting plates in front of each person, not mixing them up. Rico looked up and smiled at her. She beamed, as if he'd given her all kinds of praise. Her smile was a little shyer as she placed a plate and a pot of tea in front of Mariko.
Mariko inclined her head. "Thanks, Rita. It looks lovely."
Giovanni smiled at the waitress. He'd heard about her from his brother. Rita and Maso's parents had been killed in a car accident. Mariko identified with Rita because she'd been an orphan with a younger brother and she'd tried to support and take care of him. He knew Sasha would identify the moment he told her Rita and Maso had lost their parents. The Biaggis had taken both children in. Rita and Maso preferred to work in the cafe to help pay expenses. Rico was paying for Rita's college. She was a good student and could have gone anywhere, but she preferred to stay close to her brother, who was still in high school. When the waitress walked away, Stefano pulled out a packet of papers and handed them to Taviano, who was sitting beside him. He indicated with his chin to give them to Giovanni. "The report on many of the components from the bomb, where each item was purchased." Giovanni didn't like the heaviness in his brother's voice. He took the papers from Taviano and flipped them open, scanning the report. His cousins, Regina and Rosina Greco, were amazing and invaluable on a computer. They did most of the work for the investigators that wasn't legwork or actually talking with real people. Once on a task, neither stopped until it was done. He knew they had to have worked with very little sleep.
"Who?"
Sasha asked, looking up at the lines set deep in his face. "Some of the items were purchased with a credit card that Aaron later reported stolen."
"How much later?"
Vittorio asked. His voice was strictly neutral, but it pissed Giovanni off anyway. Aaron had been his friend. He might betray me for a chance at a woman, but he wouldn't try to kill me.
"The bomb wasn't actually set,"
Rico reminded. "It was just put on your seat as a warning. Aaron served in the army, didn't he?" Giovanni cursed under his breath. "He wouldn't be so stupid as to use his own damn credit card. I know a lot of people think fighters don't have brains, but they're wrong. Aaron's intelligent."
"Which means he might know how to put a bomb together and take one apart," Stefano said.
"You know we're going to have to pay him a visit."
When one got a visit from any Ferraro, it didn't end well.
He glanced at his brother and handed the report back to Taviano.
"I'll talk to him."
"Giovanni."
Stefano's voice was one that no one argued with. "I know he's your friend, but it isn't wise to go visit someone who may be trying to kill you. I'll handle it." Giovanni shook his head but refrained from arguing. What would be the point? He couldn't tell Stefano not to kill his friend, not with Sasha sitting there and others in the restaurant perhaps overhearing. He would have to plead his case later. Aaron might have betrayed him, but Giovanni didn't believe for one moment that the fighter would want him dead.
"There's more," Stefano said.
"I'm sorry, Sasha, but both of you need to know."
The picture sold to the tabloids came from Aaron's phone. It was sent directly from his phone. The money, however, was not put in his account.
Giovanni's gut tightened. No way would Aaron be that stupid. But he had taken the picture. He had to have been the one to snap the picture of Sasha in such a compromising situation. Damn the man to hell. Maybe he deserved to have Stefano unleashed on him. Sasha's face burned, but she kept her head up. Giovanni leaned down to brush a kiss over her temple. "We live in a fishbowl, baby. And what they can't get, they manufacture. All of us have had really terrible press."
"It's true," Emanuele said. Of course, they'd been born into it, and had learned to use the paparazzi. They'd also learned to live with the publicity their name and lifestyle generated. Sasha had no idea of the firestorms that could happen. "I've got to go with Giovanni on this one," Vittorio said. "Aaron couldn't be that dumb. And he'd know our family would go looking for evidence. He's been around Giovanni. He knows we don't stop." "Are Regina and Rosina tracing the money?" Giovanni asked. "They're trying. They'll do it. You know the two of them," Stefano assured. "It seems to be a very convoluted trail." "No one is going to pass on that kind of money. Whoever is doing this is going to find a way for the money to ultimately get back to him," Rico said. "The girls will find it." Giovanni nodded. "I think Aaron needs to know all this. It isn't that hard to determine whether he's lying or not." "That's right," Stefano said. "Rico and I will be talking to him, not you." "I want to be there," Giovanni insisted. Stefano shook his head, but then seemed to change his mind. "I'll give it some thought." Giovanni knew that was the best he was going to get. If Aaron was Sasha's stalker, and he'd tried to have Giovanni killed, there was no saving him from Stefano's wrath. It was personal, and technically, Salvatore, Luca, and Gino should be handling it. And maybe that was what would happen in the end, but Giovanni doubted it. "What have you decided to do about Eloisa?" Emanuele asked Stefano. Giovanni shot her a quick smile of thanks. Sasha started to say something, but he stopped her by biting the end of her finger and shaking his head when she looked at him. She took the cue and remained silent, but he knew he would have to have that discussion with her. Francesca's head snapped up. "What do you mean, do about her? What's Eloisa done now?" There was a distinct sigh in her voice. "She's wreaking Eloisa havoc on everyone," Stefano said. "Nothing to worry about, baby. We're used to it." "It's fine if she comes down on us," Taviano corrected. "But Nicoletta's off limits. She's a kid, and she's been through enough. I'm not going to put up with it." "I'll talk to Nicoletta about her," Francesca offered. "That's not the point. She talks to Lucia and Amo, trying to get them to kick Nicoletta out. That's bullshit. What if they listened to her?" "Lucia is incapable of kicking anyone out, let alone a young girl. She'll gently tell Eloisa to mind her own business," Stefano reminded. "That's true, but Eloisa doesn't hear or understand gentle reminders. She's going to continue, and sooner or later, Nicoletta will leave just so Lucia and Amo will have peace." "She's going to want to leave soon anyway. She missed all that schooling, so she's being tutored. But Agnese Moretti said she's nearly finished high school and can graduate. The moment she does, she's going to want to get out of here," Giovanni pointed out. He hated upsetting Taviano further, but it had to be said. They needed to plan for it. "That's not going to happen," Taviano said, his voice tight. Sasha's fingers dug into Giovanni's thigh. She didn't like the idea of the powerful Ferraro family pitting themselves against a young girl and her desire to leave their territory. "It's too dangerous for her to leave," he said. "Benito Valdez is still searching for her. He's called in favors and offered them to other gangs to try to find her whereabouts. Giovanni wanted Sasha to know they were protecting Nicoletta, not making her a prisoner. Valdez is president of the Demons Gang out of New York. He ran the gang from a prison cell for a few years, and is known for his brutality. He wants Nicoletta. He saw her and claimed her for his own. He knows she's alive, and he wants her back. She's safe as long as she's here. There's no connection to us, so no reason for him to look here. But if she goes outside our territory and someone sees and identifies her, he'll go after her." "That's awful," Sasha said. "Clearly, I've led a very sheltered life." Giovanni was happy she'd led a sheltered life. On the other hand, she knew what heartache was. Sasha had confidence in herself that Nicoletta was never going to have, thanks to the brutality her step-uncles had put the young girl through. "What are we going to do?" Mariko asked. She had a special bond with Nicoletta. "I've heard her talk about making a new start, but I didn't think she meant away from all of us.
Don't worry. Rico immediately ran his hand down the back of her head, his touch clearly reassuring. She's not going to leave us.
Giovanni knew Rico was right, but he wasn't going to do any explaining, not to Sasha. He noticed none of his brothers volunteered any information either. It was one thing to ask the women to live with them, another for them to realize just how ruthless they could be if it was needed.
"Have you set a date yet?" Emanuele asked.
All eyes turned to Sasha. She squirmed under the spotlight. Giovanni brought her hand up to his mouth and bit down on her fingertips. She took a deep breath and shook her head.
"A fall wedding would be really nice," Emanuele ventured. "What do you think, Sasha?"
Giovanni shook his head, worried about Sandlin. Sasha would want her brother there, and after the report Stefano had shared, he was concerned her brother could go at any time. His seizures had gotten worse, and the surgeon had admitted that even if they went in to relieve the pressure on his brain, that could kill him, and the fix wasn't working.
"I was thinking earlier, in a few weeks."
Before Sasha could protest, he brought her hand to his heart and pressed it there.
"I plan to go by the center today and ask Sandlin officially for Sasha's hand, and maybe talk to him about the when. We'll consult with the doctors about the where, because we want Sandlin with us."
He willed Sasha to understand that he wasn't pushing her. As much as he wanted to marry her, he was worried about her brother. She smiled up at him.
"Thanks for including him. I definitely want him with us."
Giovanni took a drink of his coffee and sat back, waiting for her to finish. He liked watching her eat. She didn't pick at her food or shove it around her plate. She enjoyed food the way she did everything else in her life. When she was finished, he stood up and held out his hand. Stefano glanced toward the smaller table where several bodyguards were eating.
"Take Emilio and Enzo, Giovanni."
"They guard you,"
Giovanni protested.
"I can take Emilio and Enzo," Stefano repeated, icicles dripping off his voice.
Giovanni wasn't going to argue about it. After all, the two very experienced bodyguards would be looking out for Sasha as well. She took his hand and rose. She looked up at him.
"So that man last night was after you, not me. Was he after you because of me? Or do you have multiple enemies?"
He gave her a quelling look. She just laughed at him, and somehow that lightened his heart. He tucked her hand in the crook of his arm, and they left Biagi's with Emilio and Enzo, one in front leading the way, and one behind them. Giovanni was so used to bodyguards, he didn't think anything of it. He'd grown up having them around him. He might be well-versed in the art of protecting himself, but riders were too valuable to the family, and they were guarded at all times. Riders were nearly revered. The bodyguards took their jobs very seriously. Sasha clearly was uncomfortable, but she didn't say anything. Giovanni matched his steps to Emilio's as he bent his head toward Sasha.
"I probably have multiple enemies, especially now that our engagement has been announced. But yes, last night, that man attacked me. He was a hitman, hired anonymously. He didn't have much information. He was called, the arrangements made, the money provided in a dumpster. He came to the club to kill me and, I quote, fuck the woman up. What that means, I have no idea."
"Has the world gone insane? This kind of thing didn't happen in Wyoming. The horses or cattle never got jealous or murderous."
She slid into the back seat of the car, and he followed.
"Well, occasionally one did, but it was easy enough to stop them. We ate the steer that gave us trouble and worked with the horse until it behaved."
Giovanni laughed. "Well, I don't think Aaron or the hitman would like it if we ate them."
"I guess not." She sounded glum. She leaned her head against his shoulder.
"I'm beginning to be afraid for you.
I'd feel better if you really could disappear into the shadows."
She glanced at Enzo, who was driving, and put her hand over her mouth.
"Sorry."
"Emilio and Enzo are very aware of what we do as riders. They've been guarding us nearly their entire lives. Nothing is going to hurt me."
I wish I was as certain of that as you are. Sandlin is extremely vulnerable, Giovanni ventured. Right now, your stalker is angry at me because I'm fucking with his fantasy. But if he turns that anger toward you, he'll start ramping up his threats. You have one brother, one person he can get at you through. Sandlin is very childlike, she said, rubbing at the frown lines between her eyes. He would take someone at face value. If they came to him and pretended to be his friend, just like before, he wouldn't question it. Giovanni wasn't so certain. He can still read lies when his shadow connects with someone else's. I don't think he's vulnerable that way. I don't like the fact that the center has so many staff and volunteers. Even the security force we're using could be penetrated. He was thinking out loud, trying to figure out a way to better protect Sandlin. Even if he assigned one guard to be with him at all times, how would the guard discern between someone who wasn't supposed to be there and one of the staff? Other patients, too. They all share the common rooms and are encouraged to interact with one another, Sasha said. If Sandlin was kept away from the others, he would be so sad. I don't want him to have to live like that because of me. It isn't because of you, Giovanni denied. The stalker is doing this, not you, and not anything you've done. Do you have any idea who it is? He sighed. I've thought a lot about it, and I just can't conceive that it would be Aaron. I think he's being set up to take the fall. Most likely the stalker thought we'd go to the cops, and they'd be doing all the investigating. Aaron would be taken in for questioning, and as the evidence piled up against him, the only question would be, where's the money? He wouldn't have an answer, and they'd think he was being cagey. But you don't go to the cops. You handle it as a family. He nodded. Technically, this entire mess should be handed over to my cousins in New York. We're too close, and we don't normally take chances that anything can ever be traced back to us. If Aaron disappeared or ended up dead somehow, there's a link to us. Why hasn't it been handed over to your New York cousins? Emilio glanced back at them. Enzo looked at her in the mirror. Giovanni looked down into her two innocent eyes. She really didn't know. My cousins might not be as close to this as we are, but it would be personal to them as well. You're one of us. You're considered family. Sandlin is family. No one hurts our family, Sasha. He picked up her hand and kissed the ring. They know I'm in love with you. I don't try to hide it from them. They see the way I look at you, the way you make me happy. My brothers, sisters, and cousins are not going to allow anyone to take you away from me. She sat back, her eyes on his. All that beautiful blue shining up at him. His heart did a weird stuttering thing he was beginning to recognize whenever he looked too closely at her. He definitely was attracted to her looks, but more than that, he found himself wanting to be in her company because she made him smile. She didn't have to do anything to make him happy. He just was happy because she was in his world. Sasha glanced at the two men in the front seat. Both were facing forward again. A mischievous look slid over her face. Sexy. His cock jerked hard. What are you up to, baby? She didn't answer, but undid her seatbelt, letting the shoulder harness drop back out of the way. She shifted on the seat, facing him, swinging one leg over his thighs so she could straddle him. She put both arms around his neck and leaned in close to nip at his ear. Guess what I'm wearing under my clothes? Her voice was a thread of sound, barely there. Her lips brushed his earlobe, just as he'd done to her earlier. She could have called down lightning. It was the same effect. A white streak of fire raced from his ear to his cock. One hand slid up her belly to her breasts. He pressed his palm tight into her. Not the jewelry I bought you. There was some disappointment in that. He would have done anything to pull that chain into his mouth and tug. No, but something else you'll like. He tried to think what he'd purchased for her. So many sexy things. Lucia's treasures had a spectacular collection of delicate and very sexy lingerie. Just with her straddling him, pressing tightly against his cock, he was already hard as a rock. He caught her by the nape of her neck and kissed her, long, slow,
commanding. She tasted like the paradise he remembered from waking her up. The more he kissed her, the more he wanted to kiss her. He wished they were alone in the car, or that there was a privacy screen. "Tell me," he whispered. "You have to guess. You're deliberately getting me worked up before we go see your brother." She gave him her impish grin, the one that told him he had it right. "Too bad these bodyguards are here. I can think of all kinds of things we could be doing." "You aren't safe." "I'm safe enough." She kissed her way up his neck to his throat, and then flicked her tongue in his ear. "I'm going to retaliate, tonight, after work. I've got a few more surprises for you. In fact, woman, I'm going to torment you until you scream for mercy," he threatened. Already his mind was spinning with ideas. "Bring it on, baby," she whispered. "I'm more than up for the challenge." She dropped her hand between their bodies and stroked. White lightning streaked up his spine. That fast, she'd changed the entire course of the day. He'd been so upset over the thought that Aaron could be in any way responsible for Sasha's picture ending up in the tabloids, or for trying to kill him, that he'd felt almost sick. Sasha had changed everything, laughing with him, teasing him, arousing him, giving him something else to think about when he couldn't do anything about Aaron. "I'm accepting your challenge," he said. "I'm looking forward to tonight." "So am I." The car slowed and pulled into the circular driveway in front of the center. Enzo parked the car, and Emilio got out and opened the door for them. "Seatbelts are worn for a reason," the bodyguard said as Sasha slid out. Her laughter teased every one of Giovanni's senses. "I was making certain Giovanni's was on properly." "I'll just bet you were," Emilio said. Sasha gave him her best innocent smile, but Giovanni was sure Emilio wasn't buying it. He took her hand and walked inside, the two bodyguards following behind. Sandlin was in the common room, the one he preferred with all the books and lots of couches and chairs. There were a few other patients in the room with him. The moment they walked in, Sandlin noticed them. His gaze jumped to his sister's face. "Good afternoon, Sandlin. I'm Giovanni Ferraro. Do you remember me? I came the other day with your sister, Sasha." Deliberately, he stepped into the light spilling down from the overhead bulb so that his shadow was thrown across the room. Sandlin's shadow didn't reach his, but both shadows threw out tubes, so it was only a matter of time before they connected. Sandlin regarded him with a sweet smile. "Nice to meet you." His gaze moved past Giovanni to rest on Sasha, then dropped on their linked hands. His smile faltered. "Wait, you came before." Giovanni knew he wasn't talking about Sasha. He might not remember she was his sibling, but she came often. She spent hours with him. She read to him. He had protective instincts for her, and those hadn't been wiped out by the accident. "That's right," Giovanni acknowledged. "I came with your sister." He stepped closer so that the two shadows merged. "I'm very much in love with her, and I want to marry her. I can take care of her and protect her, but we need you to say it's all right with you. You can feel me. Feel that the things I'm saying to you are true." Sandlin looked from Giovanni's face to Sasha's. "I want her to come and read to me." He sounded innocent, like a child. "Of course I'll come and read to you. I'll always read to you," Sasha said. A woman wearing a volunteer's jacket came in carrying a tray with cookies and hot chocolate. She offered Sandlin's bodyguard the refreshments first. He smiled at her and shook his head. Giovanni liked him. He took his job very seriously. The entire time she walked around the room, handing out the cookies and chocolate, the bodyguard watched her. It was somewhat of a relief to know Sandlin was being looked after. Sandlin stepped closer to Giovanni. "Is she going to live with you?" Giovanni nodded. "As my beloved wife, I'll cherish her, Sandlin." Sasha's brother scrunched up his face as if thinking about it. "You feel scary." He was scary. Giovanni knew he was. He was a trained assassin, a bearer of justice to those able to wiggle their way out from under the system.
Never to Sasha, or you, Sandlin. For you, but never to either of you. I'll protect you both. Sasha has an enemy. He was here the other night. He brought you your keychain with the picture of Sasha on it. I lost it again. Sandlin looked around the room as if he might spot it. My friend brought it to me. No, no, Sandlin. Sasha was alarmed. She let go of Giovanni's hand and stepped close to her brother. He isn't a friend. The man who was here, who gave you the keychain, he's trying to hurt us. You can't ever be alone with him again. I lost my keychain, Sasha, Sandlin said.
You gave it back to Sasha, Giovanni reminded.
Sasha moved around Giovanni and took the book that was pressed tightly to Sandlin's chest.
Don't worry, Sandlin. I have your keychain. I'm keeping it safe. I'm going to read to you.
Right now? His face lit up. Sasha nodded and gestured toward his favorite couch. He liked it because it was positioned directly below the row of lights, and it illuminated his book no matter if all other overhead lighting was off. Sometimes, if he stayed up late reading, the staff turned off the other lights. Sasha sat at the end of the couch, as she often did, and Sandlin immediately lay down, his head in her lap. He handed her the book he was reading. Giovanni glanced at the cover. It was The Complete Works of Sherlock Holmes. The volume was old and worn, but Sandlin held it like it was a golden treasure. While Sasha read to him, Giovanni drifted over to the bodyguard. I'm Giovanni Ferraro. He held out his hand. The bodyguard's grip was firm but brief. Nolan Rockman, how's it going?
My question to you.
It's been very quiet. Visitors were all confirmed. Some workmen were working on a couple of windows that were broken. They checked out. But to be sure, I kept Sandlin on the far side of the building until they were gone. He's a sweet man, Mr. Ferraro. He looked over Giovanni's shoulder at the siblings on the couch. I can't imagine anyone trying to harm him. Giovanni half turned to look at them, too. His heart melted every time he saw her. Enzo had stayed with the car to make certain there weren't any presents in it when they came out, but Emilio was draped against the wall, just to the right of Giovanni, trying to look less lethal and failing miserably. It was Sandlin's expression that caught his eye as he looked at the two of them on the couch. He looked as if he was sitting in heaven, surrounded by angels. His face held a light as he looked at Sasha as she read to him. Her face held a similar expression, filled with love, sweet, unconditional love. His woman had plenty of it to give, and she did so without thinking once of the cost to herself. The light dimmed for a brief second and seemed to sway. Sasha coughed and rubbed her eyes, but continued to read. When she did it a second time, Giovanni saw tiny bits of dust floating in the rays from the bank of overhead lights. It looked for a second as if white powder spun in the flickers. The lights shimmered, as if they'd moved, and he caught a glimpse of a thin, transparent line running from the seats in the couch to the light above it. He was moving before it really registered what was happening, why the lights kept dimming and appeared to sway. The tripwire one identified with the military. He threw his body over Sandlin and Sasha, covering her head with his shoulders and arms, his body completely blanketing Sandlin so that his chest smashed Sasha's brother's face.
Chapter 15 The crash, as the bank of lights fell onto Giovanni's back, reverberated through the room and shook the building. He was hit so hard, for a moment he thought his back was broken. Glass shattered and fell around them, covering the couch. Shards were hot as they pierced through his clothing. The metal rod holding the bank of lights hit across his back and bounced off, rolling onto the floor. Broken plaster rained down, a cloud of it so that for a moment the room seemed white. The ceiling cracked all the way across the room and down one wall. He tried to move his bad leg, but something bit at his calf and hurt like hell. Emilio was there immediately, pushing the metal rod aside and gently brushing glass and plaster off Giovanni's back.
"Wait, don't get up," he cautioned. "You're covered in blood."
Giovanni took a moment to assess his physical condition. His back hurt, but it wasn't as if anything was broken. His calf hurt the worst. He lifted up just a bit, to ease his weight off the two under him. Immediately, there was a flare of pain, as if needles were poking into his back, but he knew the wounds were more superficial than anything else.
"Sandlin!"
Sasha's voice trembled.
"Sandlin, say something! Giovanni, what happened?"
He realized she couldn't know what had happened. He had her pinned down under him, his arms surrounding her head, his chest over her face. Poor Sandlin was in a very uncomfortable position, but he was alive. Giovanni could feel movement under his body as Sasha's brother squirmed.
"I've got to get off them before I crush them," Giovanni warned Emilio.
In 3 minutes, his entire family was going to show up, and Stefano was going to lose his mind. Emilio would get chewed out, and so would Sandlin's bodyguard. He forced his body to roll off the couch, but he landed on his belly. A groan was torn from his throat as pain shot up his injured leg and flashed through his back. He knew he'd been hit with the heavy metal rod. That was the pain in his back. The leg pain worried him. He'd been off work too long waiting for the damn thing to heal to have something go wrong with it.
"Giovanni,"
Sasha's voice soothed him. He could hear the alarm, and a part of him was happy she cared enough to be worried. Emilio's hand on his shoulder prevented him from pushing up off the floor. He couldn't see Sasha or Sandlin, but he was aware the staff was already checking on the few patients who had been in the room and hustling them out.
"You've got a large piece of glass from one of the lights in your calf," Emilio explained, "and several pieces in your back. That was an explosion," he added.
"I got that," Giovanni said, trying not to laugh at his cousin.
Emilio sounded so affronted.
"Just get that shit out of me. But check Sandlin first. I think I crushed him."
"You smashed my face?"
Sandlin crouched beside his head, leaning down to peer into his eyes. There was a trace of amusement, as if the man found the entire thing funny.
"You have blood all over your back."
Sasha sat on the floor beside him, stroking caresses in his hair. There were tears running down her face.
"You could have been killed. What happened?"
There was no way they could keep this to themselves. The police would already have been called by the staff. He knew the detectives assigned to Sasha's case would be coming, but Giovanni wasn't going to tell them anything he had learned. His brothers would get that information.
"Baby, don't cry. I'm all right. The light structure above the couch the two of you were on fell." "What the fuck happened, Giovanni?"
That heralded the arrival of his oldest brother. He found himself grinning. He reached for Sasha's hand, the movement sending another flash of pain through his back.
"In case you were wondering, Stefano, I'm all right."
"You don't look it.
Emilio, where the fuck were you?"
"That's not a very nice word," Sandlin said.
"Why are you so angry? Giovanni is going to marry Sasha." He patted Giovanni's arm.
"I have to go now."
Giovanni could see the man assigned to Sandlin hovering, worry etched into his face. He kept glancing at the ceiling, as if afraid the rest of it would come crashing down. That was entirely possible.
"Get Sasha out of here. I don't want anything falling on her head."
"I'm not leaving you. The ceiling is fine. It has a few cracks, but it's intact,"
Sasha assured. "Even if the entire thing was falling, I'd be staying. So don't waste your breath." Emilio continued to pull the shards of glass from his back. Giovanni could see that Vittorio had shown up. Taviano came striding into his line of vision. He crouched beside Stefano.
"What happened?"
Stefano asked, his voice a thread of sound.
"Bastard definitely has skills when it comes to setting charges. He rigged a line between the couch and the lights, and just got lucky that we were all here in one place. Sandlin's bodyguard mentioned a glass company was working on repairing windows. He kept Sandlin on the other side of the center. The bastard has military experience, Stefano, which means, since we have his DNA, we should be able to identify him. He's an expert. That tripwire was nearly invisible. I just got one glimpse of it because the light shone just right on it," Giovanni told him. He wanted to curse at Emilio as the man patiently removed the shards from his back.
"Get the one out of my leg. It hurts like a mother."
"Stop complaining," Stefano ordered.
his hand on Giovanni's shoulder, and the worry in his voice belied his words. "He's waiting for the doc." "I don't need a doctor. It's a piece of glass." Giovanni wanted to sit up. He felt vulnerable lying on the floor face down. It helped that his brothers had arrived. He could hear Rico talking to some of the staff, gathering information. "Did the bodyguard go with Sandlin?" "He's safe, in his room. The guard is in with him," Stefano assured. "Check out Sasha. Make sure she wasn't hit by any of the glass," Giovanni ordered. "I'm fine. You had me completely covered," Sasha assured. "Cops are here. Bradshaw and Maverick," Taviano whispered. "Emanuele is giving them quite a performance, wringing her hands and looking as if she's going to burst into tears any moment. They're both occupied with reassuring her the world isn't coming to an end." "Anything else you can tell us?" Stefano asked Giovanni. "He's clever, methodical, and an expert in explosives. He has military training. He isn't afraid to take chances, and he knows how to blend in. He set those charges to blow exactly the direction he wanted them to. He scouted this room and knew this couch was always in poor lighting, and the overheads had to be on, and it has a lamp if the overheads are off." "As long as I've been coming here," Sasha added, her voice pitched low to match Giovanni's, "no other patient used this couch because of the way it's always darker in this corner. Sandlin likes it because he thinks of it as his." "So he somehow got that information out of someone on staff or a volunteer. He knows how to manipulate people," Stefano murmured. "We're dealing with a professional, not some schmuck off the streets." "Mr. Ferraro!" Detective Maverick announced his arrival. "Is your brother all right?" "I'm alive," Giovanni said, "but a little worse for wear. Miss Provis, you and your brother okay?" Sasha's fingers tightened in Giovanni's. She inched a little closer to him, as if she could protect him. He liked that. The detective represented conventional authority, and ordinarily his family would have welcomed the investigation and helped it along as best they could. Sasha's attacker had attacked someone they considered a family member, and that meant it was family business. She was already thinking along those lines. "We're fine, thanks to Giovanni. He shielded both of us." "That's what the witnesses said. We'd like you and your brother to give us your accounts." There was something in the detective's voice that bothered Giovanni. He detested not being able to turn over and see the man's face. He was at a distinct disadvantage, but he was surrounded by family. "My brother is back in his room and has a bodyguard. He has a brain injury that prevents him from being able to answer your questions, detective," Sasha said. "His doctor will confirm that. I'm very concerned that my stalker is out to kill my brother, and I don't understand why you haven't gotten any closer to finding him." Giovanni could have kissed her. He squeezed her hand in an effort to try to tell her he was proud of her. "Giovanni, we're going to remove the shard in your calf," Emilio said. "The doc is here. We can try to numb it." "Just take the fucking thing out," Giovanni snapped. He was done with lying on his belly while dust settled around them and the cops questioned everyone. "What happened?" Maverick asked. "You can't wait until the doctor finishes with him?" Sasha sounded outraged. "Seriously, detective, someone rigged the light fixture to blow while I was reading to my brother. I don't know if his intention was to kill us or injure us or just plain scare us. My brother is fragile, as are the other patients here." Her voice wobbled. Giovanni realized she was close to breaking down. "Baby, I'm right here. Sandlin's okay, and so am I." He didn't want her to cry, not without him able to hold her and shield her from the two detectives. They were good men. He knew they were, and they were just doing their jobs, but they didn't like the Ferraros. They believed the family was involved in criminal activities rivaling their enemy, the Saldi family. Neither detective wanted a war between the two powerful families in their city. "I'm sorry, Ms. Provis," Maverick said immediately. "If the doctor says your brother can't talk to us, of course we'll leave him alone. We do need Mr. Ferraro's account." "My account? Fuck! What the hell are you doing, Doc?" He was much more dramatic than needed. Sasha fell for it. Her little gasp and the way she hitched closer to him, her hands in his hair, was gratifying. "Be careful,"
she hissed to the doctor. Giovanni wanted to pull her into his arms. She was protective of him, but he knew she was sliding close to the edge of a cliff. So much fear and trauma could send one cascading over. She had lost her parents and the brother she knew forever. She was clinging hard to Sandlin, even though the doctors had cautioned her that his life expectancy wasn't long. To have him menaced in any way, to have a persistent stalker threatening her brother's life, was too much. Anyone was bound to crumble, even for a few moments.
"Hurry up, Doc. Just get it out," Giovanni said.
He gripped Sasha's hand. "I'm good, baby. Really." He glanced up at the detective.
"I can't tell you very much. Sasha was reading to Sandlin. I was talking to Nolan Rockman, Sandlin's bodyguard. He told me about the broken windows that the repairman had checked out, but he still kept Sandlin on the other side of the center until they were gone. I think he was saying something about how childlike or innocent Sandlin was, and I turned to look at him with Sasha. I noticed the plaster swirling around in the rays of light shining down. At first it didn't register, and then I just dove to cover them." He stayed as close to the truth and what he knew Rockman would tell the detective. He could give a word-for-word account of what was said, but witnesses usually couldn't do that. He also had incredible speed, which Rockman would probably mention, but he was deliberately vague in his own account, not mentioning distance or how he'd gotten there in time.
"You really could use a couple of stitches," the doctor announced.
"Just use glue or whatever you do now," Giovanni said. He was done being at a disadvantage and growing impatient with all the questions.
"We need everyone out of this room."
Goodman was there, worried the rest of the roof would cave in and his center would be liable.
"Please go into the other room."
"Doc." Stefano ignored everyone. He was a law unto himself, and it showed in everything about him.
"Put in the stitches right here. It's the only chance you're going to get. You don't do it, it won't get done."
"Infection could set in," the doctor warned.
"I have everything I need with me."
He was already setting up a small tray to get it done.
"But I'm warning you, with all the dust in here, this could get septic."
"You say that every time you have to sew one of us," Giovanni griped.
"That's because I find you in the worst circumstances."
It took forever to get out of there. Giovanni had to answer more unnecessary questions, as did Rockman and Sasha. Several staff members and the volunteer who had served chocolate and cookies were detained for more questions. Giovanni repeatedly told the detectives no one saw or heard anything, because the others hadn't. Rockman was upset with himself, but really, he couldn't have done much either. Their enemy was a man who was cunning and bold. He was also very well trained. Sasha insisted on going to work. Goodman had made noises about removing Sandlin from his center, and she panicked. Giovanni made the mistake of telling her it was a ploy often used to get more money. She was associated with the Ferraro family. No one minded price gouging them, so of course Goodman would expect them to pay to keep Sandlin there. It wouldn't occur to him that Sasha was paying the bill herself after their engagement. In the end, even Stefano stopped arguing with her when Giovanni gave a slight shake of his head. She was becoming more and more agitated. There was no way to resolve the situation. The Ferraros would negotiate terms with Goodman without Sasha, and then they'd continue to look for better places and other doctors. They had the means, and they'd use whatever it took to give Sandlin the best care possible. Giovanni knew Sasha loved her brother, and she would put aside pride in order to make certain he got the best care. Right now, she was feeling raw and possessive and definitely protective. He knew she needed space, and he was going to give her whatever was necessary to make her feel in control. If that meant she needed to go to work, to be in her normal routine, then it wasn't a big deal to sit at a table all night and watch her. Of course, he was doubling the guards, and she would have one of the experienced ones moving around with her. That was non-negotiable. Giovanni hadn't counted on how tired he was, or how much a petty thing like a few stitches in his calf was going to hurt. He felt like a whiny baby, although he hadn't complained, nor had he taken pain pills. He did, however, have a shot of whiskey halfway through the night.
He told himself it had everything to do with pain, and not with the fact that Aaron Anderson had come in with an even larger number of his friends than before. Mixed martial arts fighters trained all the time. They didn't frequent nightclubs.